everybody. Welcome, and thank you for coming to my pajamas talk. We're going to start out with a short video about what the network team has been saying over the past many years about our bandwidth consumption.
So a normal day usage on the Bornhack network has been pretty slow. You're not doing a lot on the network. So if you bring more devices next year and put them on the wired network, we can use more bandwidth. We also used a little bit of bandwidth, and when I say a little bit, it is a little bit. It's not a lot of bandwidth used in this camp.
But 400 megabit? Should you give yourself a round of applause for 400 megabit?
You know this thing about hashtag use more bandwidth? We used 3.7 terabytes down and 400 gigabytes up last year, and it was kind of, you know, it wasn't embarrassing, but close. Still, we have, as you saw, we have ample room for more usage. We have not seen saturation of the fiber. Last year, I had this recurring thing saying, use more bandwidth. And, well, I just skipped that hashtag because apparently it's not working to say it. But when I look at this slide, I'm thinking, I'm going to have a hard time convincing Orca to give us 3 gigabit next year, or 5, or 10. So we kind of need to do some design changes in order to use massive amounts of bandwidth, because we, of course, only like bandwidth. It's just not something we use, but we like it.
How we used all the bandwidth. Exactly 1 year ago, after the last talk you saw in the bar, a member of the network team came over to us, and they said, I give you a challenge. If you use all the bandwidth, I will give Pajamas a round of beer. But you have to do something useful. So we thought about it for 3 seconds, and we said, challenge accepted. Fast forward to 4 weeks ago, it was about time we started actually preparing for the challenge. So we sat down, and we were certain that there were 2 things that we need to achieve this. We need some hardware that can use at least this 3 gigabit uplink that Bornhack had in 2021. And we need a very bandwidth-heavy project that is also within this bounds of being useful. For the hardware, we quite quickly decided that this guy, the Raspberry Pi 4, was the right choice, because here it says gigabit in Ethernet. That's quite good. And it fits into like the hacker mindset, I think, to have these Pis, because then we can have like a cluster and it's going to look cool. And they're low power consumption, so maybe the power team is happy that we didn't bring a huge rack server or something like that. So we quickly bought 10 of those. Thank you, Magenta Open Source IT, for sponsoring our Raspberry Pis. We also needed a project, something useful that can use a lot of bandwidth. One idea was creating a web scraper. The internet is quite big, and there's a lot of stuff to download. It is, however, important that we don't store a lot of data, because we don't want to bring, you know, several terabytes of hard drive to store everything we download. But we could build a web scraper where we download all of the internet and we just save how many times there's a Bornhack link or something like that. We also had the idea to do 8K video streams. Video uses a lot of bandwidth, as you might know from life. And we were thinking to put little displays around Bornhack, streaming like 8K campfires or something like that. There's also there's a GitHub project called PingFS, which is data juggling. It's storing data in transit on the big internet by pinging servers very far away and storing the data in the ICMP packets. And this is quite fun, and we were experimenting with it a little bit. But you can only store very little, you can only use very little data, because the ICMP, you can't put a lot of data in them. And it seems the bottleneck is like latency and not uplink. Then we had an idea to do a speed test, which is speed testing speed tests. Whoa. it will help the general consumer make an educated choice in which speed test to use for their private network. It's a humble thing to do, really. So we decided to do that. Also, speed tests are quite good at using bandwidth. I don't know if you know this. we also prepared some stickers for our pies. We got this low bandwidth application sticker we could put on the case of the pies. We were thinking it's nice that we can distribute them so that if we end up in a battle with the NUC team where they're trying to throttle us and we have to distribute those pies around and hide them under the little tarps with the network switches and stuff like that, they would find these and they would go like, oh, it's probably not this one. It says low bandwidth. We also brought this forfeit button. I don't know if you can read it, but it says NUC forfeit button. Pressing the button costs a round of beer for pajamas, and it has a big red button. Inside it, there's a Raspberry Pi that was supposed to like SSH and kill all the servers once they press it. And it was a nice, like, it's hanging like in the front of the camp so they can see it every time they walk by. We finally arrived, and we were ready to execute this project. This is how it looked like when we arrived. And then we started getting a little bit worried because we had been doing all these preparations and we were thinking, well, what if the NUC team doesn't even remember us? What if they don't think this is fun? And we got a little scared. But then we met one of the NUC guys and they said, oh, we remember. We've upgraded the uplink to 10 gigabits. Fuck. but they were quite nice about it. They also came with a switch and they set it up for us with a direct fiber uplink to the internet core here. So they really gave us the best conditions we could have because they clearly had no faith in us actually achieving this. The first task was deploying this cluster. We need some operating systems and a lot of different stuff. Here we have our nicely stickered pies, and they're cool. We wanted to do a headless configuration, so no monitor for each pie and keyboard and typing and stuff like that, because that's boring. We wanted every pie to have a Raspbian and an SSH daemon so that we can access them and do more config later on. We need a password for the Raspberry Pi user. I don't know if you know, but since half a year ago, there's no longer a default password for the Pi user on a Raspberry Pi. It used to be Raspbian, and it made it quite easy to pwn poorly configured Raspberry Pis on the internet. So they removed that, which is great for security, but it's a little bit more inconvenient when setting them up. And then we need a stable method of connecting to the Pi, meaning we could just use the public IP and SSH to that. But we decided we want to be able to change the IP address in case NUC is trying to throttle us or we get rate limited by the speed tests. So what we came up with is DDing a Raspbian image onto the SD card, mounting it, touching this boot SSH file that enables the SSH daemon on Raspbian. It's a Raspbian thing. Then we can just put a username and it's a password, and then we built this Pajamas Report IP service, which is when the Pi boots and internet comes up, this service will start and it will just send the IPv6 link local address to a server we have. So that way we know an IP address for the Pi, and by using IPv6 link local, it won't change even though DHCP gives us a different IP address, public IP address later on. So we can do that. We can boot one of the pies. And when we see that it's working, we can take the SD card. We can clone this big dick disk image, which is now like, yikes. We can clone this now 32 gig disk image, which is the size of the SD card. And you can shrink it. Apparently you can just make a disk image smaller. I think I got lucky because there was no like sparse data on the Raspbian image. But that made it very small, and that meant it was very fast. It only took like 15 minutes flashing the remaining 9 SD cards. This is what it looked like once all the Pis were configured and had Ethernet and power, and they booted on. And this is what it looked like in the server where the IPv6 link local addresses were reported to. So you can see it says new, weird, scary IPv6 address with colons in it announced themselves. And we used that to build just the list of all the addresses so we can then further configure them with Ansible later on. And then one of the camp members decided it was a good idea to tidy them up so it didn't take a lot of space on the table, which is a really good idea. Now the cluster is up and running, so we can see how much bandwidth it can draw. I wanted to start out just testing if we can actually pull the now 10 gigabit connection. So I just, for example, I tried one device. I tried just curling a big file. This is achban.nikev. It's one of the network teams. Let me know if this Dutch research institution, which has like a 40 gigabit uplink or something like that. So it's a good source for testing. And you can see we can pull 100 megabytes per second, bits per second. Oh, sorry. Well, that's good. That's perfect. And I tried running a speed test on all 10 Raspberry Pis simultaneously. And this is what the network graph looked like after that. And all the way, yeah. you can see on the top of the graph, you have like 9, 10-ish gigabit. So we did actually manage to exhaust it. And you can see it's like 93.4%. And I let this run overnight because I decided that was a good idea. And then Espia, one of the network team members, came and he was like, hey, dude, you need to stop. This is not useful and I can't install Debian. So, and he was right, so I just stopped the program. And then it came to the more challenging part of the challenge, which is doing something useful. We started to build our bandwidth project, and the infrastructure ended up looking something like this. There's three components. If we start in the lower right corner, the speed test servers is running on the Raspberry Pis, and it's running the actual speed tests. It's spawning a headless Chromium browser, and then it's interfacing with Node.js to click the buttons on a speed test web page to run the speed test, and it will report the result. The result is then sent to our backend, which is written in Python, and it's basically Prometheus. And then that talks to the frontend, which is written in Elm, and it makes graphs and stuff. It's basically Grafana, if you know those applications. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Then we can install this speed test service on all of the Raspberry Pis. This is an Ansible file. It says like install Chromium browser, clone the Git repo, install the dependencies, which is super cool. And you can see on the right image, it's deploying those changes to the Pis. So now I would like to present to you speedtest.speedtest.pyjam.as. This is live. You can. You can access this on your laptop right now if you would like to know which speed test is better. There are a few details about the data that we are going to get to now, because we ran into a few issues. It's much, much slower when we're running in this Chromium web browser. I don't know if you can see, but most of these are only hovering around like 200, 400 megabits, which sucks. And if we do this test again where we HTTP, we get 1,000 megabits per second. But on HTTPS, we only get 250, which is nothing. And I found that the S in HTTPS, it actually stands for slow. Then I ran HTOP on the device, and I could see that one of the CPUs were using 100%. And the bottleneck in this should be the network card. So that's not so good. And investigating it, we found that it's actually TLS, the encryption, that is the bottleneck here. And further investigating, we found there's something called an AES instruction set, which is CPU instructions for doing AES. And according to Wikipedia, it can increase throughput from 28 cycles per byte to 3.5 cycles per byte, which is like almost 10 times faster. And this is not supported on the Raspberry Pi 4. The processor in the Raspberry Pi 4 has it as like an optional extension. So it's like Broadcom said, you have to pay more money for this proprietary thing. So hopefully, maybe RISC-V can solve this problem for us in the future, and we have to buy new small devices. But for now, we have to figure a way around it so we can use more bandwidth. And one solution we spent a long time investigating is if we can downgrade the AES cipher. Basically, can we find an AES algorithm that is faster for the CPU to run? When you make a HTTPS connection, you're negotiating with the server which AES cipher to use. And if your client can say, oh, I only support this one that's very, very fast, and the server also supports it, then that's the one you're using. And we spend a really long time. You can give flags to Chromium browser, like I only want those ciphers. But it seems like when you try to disable the normal standard ones, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. We couldn't do it. We didn't get any proof it was faster, and we didn't manage to achieve this. But we had another idea, because we have four cores. So why don't we just run four speed tests at once, and then we just add together the results? And that's the same thing, right? Almost? And it worked to a degree. We managed to get two running at the same time, and it was faster. But four, we start just overloading the CPU, and everything gets super slow. So we are actually doing that now. Then we started investigating if we can get them to run faster on single core, like overclocking or something like this. And do you remember I said it was a really good idea to tidy up the pies like this? It turns out they were really hot. They were like 82 degrees. They start throttling the CPU at 85, so it's like, right, it's definitely getting throttled. Tidy, but not good for cooling purposes. So we opened up all the cases and almost like burned ourselves on the plastic. And then they were running around 68 degrees, which is much better. And if you look at the graph, this is where we took them out of their cases. And you can see that they were struggling. There's less variance and higher speeds, both things that we like. Now we get to overclocking. The default clock rate on the Raspberry Pi is 1.5 gigahertz. And I read online that 2 gigahertz is good. So I'm pretty sure this is the safe way to do overclocking, right? And you can just write this in like a config file on the boot partition. I found it online. It's probably going to work, right? With Ansible, I overclocked 10 Pis simultaneously, which I think is really cool. This is where we overclocked them. Maybe it got slightly faster, but the variance got larger. Like, it also goes lower. They're overclocked. It's cool. If you notice the small hole after the arrow, that was me deploying some code that didn't work. So, how much bandwidth did we actually use? We should let State of the Network talk about that, and we can let this be a teaser. So that's in like 1.5 half an hour or something like that.
40 minutes.
So they're going to have the big graph and talk about what happened and how their efforts were. Yeah. I'd like to say thank you for JavaDex for sponsoring our coffee and our big party tent. Our coffee is free for everyone. It was last year, it is this year, and it will be next year. Come get coffee. Thank you for coming. You can find the source code at GitLab/pajamas.
Do we have any questions for Asbjørn?
Would it have had made any difference if you used the command line version of Speedtest instead of the browser version?
We actually forked. Should I repeat the? No, you have a question. We actually forked one of these command line tools for a speed test. So we were running it from the command line with a headless browser. Of course, that means we're still running JavaScript and we're still doing it through the web browser. And that is potentially problematic. We can see on, if we go back to the graph here, the orange bar, that is also run through the browser, but it's this Achban, this Dutch website, and you can see that it's really fast. It's like 900 megabits. So it doesn't appear as if there is any bottleneck by running it in the browser. If we just download a big file without the browser over HTTPS, it's slow as well. Does that answer your question?
Any other questions? Then let's give a big round of applause for Asbjørn.